Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heard around the world on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue and Joe Grande.
Hello, welcome to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. My name is Blue. Alongside of me is Mr. Ali Muffins.
Yes, sir.
We are missing Mr. Joe Grande, but Ali's sitting in for him earlier. Salar did. It's going to be a fun day, guys. Make sure you check us out on CannabisTalk101.com, where you can find all kinds of new blogs and interesting stories about the cannabis industry. And make sure you check us out on IG. I am at the number one Christopher Wright, and Joe Grande is at JoeGrande52. Guys, Ali has something important to tell you.
Well, this first segment with our eminent guest is brought to you guys by Advanced Nutrients. Advanced Nutrients has a complete growing system for cannabis that optimizes all phases and cycles to bring your crops to their true genetic potential. Discover more at advancednutrients.com.
Nice. That wasn't a bad read.
Okay.
Who do we have? Ali, tell us who we have on the show.
We got a couple of great guests. Today, we've got Robert Kramer and Jessica Anguiano. Did I say it right?
Anguiano.
Thank you, Jessica. Nice. She's been teaching me that for about a month and a half. Robert and Jessica are here from Elevated Global Supply, guys. Robert has over 15 years of experience in packaging, and he's the founder of Elevated Global Supply, with the goal of providing a full service experience to cannabis brands who would otherwise seek stock products elsewhere. Robert has worked on Monogram, Spliffany, and Hotbox, and now he is working with Sublime, as well as the very popular extract company that we all love, 710 Labs.
Nice.
Oh, hey, yeah. I mean, what a great resume, Robert. Excellent. Yeah. Now, Jessica, born and raised in L.A., cannabis is nothing new to her. You guys know, the L.A. crowd gets down. It quickly became clear that the plant was her true passion. Jessica began her journey in the underground market, like many of us did, attending CSULA. Soon after, she transitioned into the compliance sector to learn retail, distribution, and laboratory marketing. As of recent, Jessica has jumped into the packaging lane with Elevated Global Supply, and that's what brings her here today. Welcome, guys.
Yes, let's give them a round of applause, guys. Welcome to the show, guys. All right, so Robert, let's start with you.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about who you are before the packaging, before the industry, and then let's kind of go into, you know, what it, how it became packaging and then cannabis. Because I'm thinking maybe you were in packaging before cannabis even.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So tell us a little about yourself.
Tough act to follow.
Yeah.
Who I was. No, just a packaging guy.
Yeah.
Originally from Pittsburgh, been in Southern California 15 years.
Sure.
Packaging brought me to Southern California. Was living in Pittsburgh, working for 3M.
Go Steelers?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
wish rather had them lose on Monday night, kind of tank for the draft.
But right.
Whatever. Yeah. Tough year. Tough
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
But no, packaging brought me out here to Orange County, 2007. Worked for 3M. Went to another packaging company that actually invented bubble wrap.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Boring that's, bubble wrap.
That's huge. That's a big deal.
It's a huge market.
We all used it. You know? Yeah, absolutely. We've all touched it.
Worked there a few years. Met my business partner now, who's my partner. Kind of our business has always been packaging focused. Talked maybe later about how you got into cannabis. And our business has been built and segmented around kind of who I am is professional ADD.
Yeah, me too.
All over the place in my personal life and my business life.
Yeah.
Love travel. All our business is Asia-based.
Wow.
So before COVID, in a 5-6 year period, went to China 32, 33 times.
Wow.
So the business, again, kind of intersects the personal life. And then who I am, love sports, love having fun, everything probably pretty cliche that someone would get up here and say, but That's
what it is. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I say this because, you know, you're like, I'm ADD and all over the place, you know, to know that though is very important. Right. Cause you know, for me, you know, I am too. And, you know, I'm very ADD. I'm dyslexic. I do a lot of like different things and, but I know that, you know what I mean? Sure. A lot of people don't know, you know, that it's like, they don't know why they're ADD or what ADD is or how, you know, and I just tend to embrace it now, you know what I mean? Cause I'm at a certain age. I'm like, it's what it is. You know, it's like, sure. Everybody's like, read this. I'm like, probably not. You know, like, I flip up
God,
the page
for me. Thank God for cannabis.
Yeah.
That's kind of what levels me out. You were saying, before you don't smoke and function daily. It's just not your thing.
Yeah.
For me, it's a daily thing before going to war with a customer.
Yeah.
Before having to deal with employees. Yeah. Before having to deal with all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
I smoke.
Well,
that
and
levels me out.
You know, what's great though, is that in the mindset of those that don't know, a lot of people are like, you know, people that smoke cannabis are lazy.
Fuck no.
And I'm like, dude, no. And I'm like, no, those are just lazy people.
I have that smoke names cannabis. That I won't name. A close buddy, Midwest conservative.
Yeah.
Very successful dude. Never ever drinks. Smokes a fuck ton.
Yeah.
His wife going into that marriage was so against it. So, you know, lazy, pothead, any stereotype or cliche you would see.
She had all those, yeah.
10 years later, they have 4 kids and things are great.
Yeah. They're like, this works.
Yeah. But that's the perception.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I think a lot of people do get caught up in the perception of what it is and the stigmas that they've heard, especially the older, you know, generation. Because I think the newer generation now is it's kind of more numb. Even like my kids are like, it's legal. And I'm like, yeah, but you're 17, bro. And like, come on, you know, it ain't really completely legal for you.
Would you let them have a beer or mixed drink?
No, my kids smoke, you know. Yeah. My kids have been smoking long before I even knew, but I don't I don't let him smoke in the house, and I you know, he smokes outside or in the garage. He's got access to the garage and stuff like that, but I just don't let him smoke in the house because I don't smoke in the house, you know. But other than that, I mean, like, you know, I'm okay with it as long as they're getting their things done, you know.
Sure.
Like, you know, go to school, take care of your work or whatever else you got going on. Don't leave, you know, take out the trash, do all the good stuff that you know young guys
make your
are
bed.
Supposed to do. Yeah.
You know, Robert, I want to ask you a follow-up because I really find this point interesting. We've all dealt with that stigma. And I want to ask you, when you were working at 3M and you were working at those other companies, how was it different from you for being a CEO of a cannabis-related brand now?
Yeah, I mean, working at those companies, I was 22 to 27. I was a low-level sales rep that probably put in way less work than I should have. So didn't have any of the exposure to what our business is built on now. You know, we're heavy cannabis focused, but we do a ton with outside of the cannabis industry. We do a high percentage of Amazon's packaging.
Oh, nice.
We do Target. We do Nike. We've done Fashion Nova here in LA, like almost since day one.
Nice.
A lot of this is through distribution. But so the level of service and work that you have to step up to those companies, it's easy to service some of the cannabis companies.
You know, I want to thank you for actually coming into our space because, again, it's one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of people that are just trying to get in that don't really have that kind of a background, right?
What our elevator speech is what you're saying. Ton of dudes in every sector of the cannabis space as a get-rich-quick scheme.
Correct.
Yep.
You know, so
correct.
You hear someone that's involved in hardware, moving hardware from overseas. Hey, I got a packaging guy. No, you're a hardware guy.
Yeah.
Stay in the hardware.
Stay in your lane.
And, you know, packaging's not pretty, not sexy in terms of social media or brand cliche.
Yeah.
It's necessary.
Oh, you know, here's the thing, man. I get people come in and ask. I mean, I think people think we know everything, and we do know a lot of people, you know, but I get people asking, hey, do you know where I can get I need packaging done right now. And it's hard to hand off people to companies that you don't really know either, because you're like, oh, I know a packaging guy, but like, I don't know what it, you know, where this is going to go.
It's
you
such
know?
A still a friends and family referral industry.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, in the for cannabis sure. side, probably 80-90% of our potential customers are referrals.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not knocking on doors, hustling, going to find.
Yeah.
It's a handshake. It's, hey, this guy's legit. He's working for them. He's working for them.
Yeah. It's that build that relationship, too. And I love to trust certain people with, you know, when I know that they're capable of actually getting the job done, right? Because it's easy to know, like, when you deal with certain people, you're like, oh, these guys are legit. They'll get it done. What our goals here is, and we tell everybody in our team, and there's about five or six of them, but one of them is to care and communicate. And if you don't care and communicate with the people you're dealing with, then don't even deal with them at all. Just don't deal with them. Like, if you don't care about that person that you're talking to, don't bring them into our home. And if you can't communicate with them, don't bring them in our home, because that's what we're here to do. You know, it's like care and communicate. So, yeah.
And we're going to find out more about that in just a second.
Let's we'll be it. Right back with yeah. Cannabis Talk 101.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. What time is it, guys?
Dime time!
It's dime time. Think higher with Dime Industry.
Hey guys, what time is it?
Dime time!
Think higher with cannabis, what?
Think higher with Dime Industries.
Yes.
Find them in California, Arizona, and Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Check out the website dimeindustries.com or check them out on IG at dime.industries.
Man, shout out to Dime Industries. Those guys working really hard out there to keep their name on the map, and they do a great job at it.
Great product.
You know, a lot of fun. So let's talk about Jessica. Oh, we had a question. I think Allie asked a question before that.
Well, I should have. That's for sure.
Well, next time you will. What's the question?
Well, Lou was talking to us about what he's always taught us here at Cannabis Talk 101, caring and communicating.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, Robert, your strategy for making sure your team is all on the same page. Obviously, you work with eminent brands. You guys have to perform at a professional level and high level. What is it that keeps your team on track, makes them start the clock on time and do their reads and whatever they got to do?
Infrastructure. We have a good infrastructure of people. Our business headquartered in LA, have a location in Chicago, reps all over the West Coast. A lot of our product comes from overseas. So we have offices, legit teams overseas that are our people. Level of expectation internally is email, text. We use an app for communication with China, WeChat. You send a message, it's responded to in the next few hours. We're all busy, but the communication, good news, bad news, it's same what you guys say. Communication. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the industry. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Communication, timely, follow-up.
Yeah. Fortunes in the follow-up. Absolutely. That's one of the other ones.
That's the that's the pain in the ass, though, the follow-up, especially in cannabis.
Well, that's a whole different show. You start talking about these guys like, damn, bro, I did this, I did that. What's going on?
They're
like,
I sent that to you three times in the last week. Yeah. Send it again?
Yeah. They're like, where did you send it, bro?
Wait, I thought this show was about
your email,
your Signal, your WhatsApp.
This show's becoming about me. Let's go to Jessica.
Jessica, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, who Jessica is before the business side.
Before the business? I mean, same thing that was said. I was born and raised in LA. Growing up, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to sing, I'm going to dance, I'll play sports. Like, I did it all, but I didn't love anything. And I recognized that very young. My dad's a businessman, long days, early nights, like all of the whole thing. So I knew there was more out there. I didn't really tap into who I felt I was probably till I was like 23. And by that time I had been smoking already, but I never really considered it as a career choice, a career option, anything that I could sustain a living with. I thankfully had a supportive family. They allowed me to go to school, get an education, but still let me keep my, you know, trap job as a bud tender.
Yeah.
Nice. My brother would pick me up, drop me off, so I wasn't driving. I was doing the 12-hour shifts, the whole thing, getting paid in cash every night. And then I transitioned into a compliant market with the famous LA Kush.
Yeah. Which one?
Exactly, which one?
That's what she told me, for sure.
Yeah, so I was around for that little tiff, which was fun. That transitioned to another brand.
Which one? Seriously, though, which one? Like East LA or?
The other one.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two.
Number two,
other one.
Yeah, so then that turned into House Flowers. I then left retail to go into distribution with Seed to Soul and Show Companies. They do tons of products. I learned a lot. Then fell with CannaSafe, the lab.
Yeah.
Which, that's another story.
Yeah, I get it.
And yeah, and luckily ended up here with Rob at Elevated Global Supply, which I feel has allowed me to expand my knowledge and kind of test my skill set in not only the cannabis side, but now in an e-commerce side and what you would consider quote unquote a normal industry,
sure,
which I honestly don't have that much experience in because my whole career has been cannabis focused, which I learned a lot, but it's fun being able to kind of peel it back and be able to freely work within retail, e-commerce, and all of that again.
So, what's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie is Matilda.
Matilda.
Nice. The Little Witch.
That's a quick response.
Yeah, right? Me and you. What?
Yeah, I love Matilda.
Well, there's so many different
ones. Man, I think my top five.
Pulp Fiction.
Absolutely. Goodfellas.
Yeah, Goodfellas. Why?
I don't know. I know the entire script. I feel put it on and like I recite the whole thing.
Nice.
It's a comfort movie. I don't know. I just like it.
Fantastic. And what do you do with the Elevated?
I pretty much just run the marketing department solo. Nice.
So you got him here.
I got him here. Yeah. I did the connect and I harassed Solar and Cameron and everyone. And
was it easy?
It took a while, but
that's right. Hard work pays off.
Persistence. The follow-up.
Yes,
the fortunes in the follow-up.
Fortunes in the follow-up.
Okay, so now that you guys are hitting key things, right, which I love because it makes me feel like you guys operate very similar to our operation. The fortunes in the follow-up, right? The bear of life is believe, energy, action, results. if you believe in something, there's energy. With energy, there's action. With action, there's results.
Passion.
Right? Yeah. You care and communicate. Mm-hmm. You always have to care and communicate, right? Don't forget to wait for the magic to happen, you know, because it takes time for anything good. You know, everybody wants to walk in and be a rock star, or be the head of the show, the company that's in the Fortune 500. It takes time to build real companies. Mm-hmm. And then be unrealistic. You know, be very unrealistic, because wealthy people are very unrealistic people. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm putting that on a pedestal. Just be unrealistic, because when we were kids, we were taught to not be so unrealistic. You can't just do this. You can't do that. And I don't agree with those things. I think that you can do those things. Yeah. And the more that people tell me, I'll give you an example. We were throwing a festival, and all these people were like, hey, you're going to throw a Burning Trees festival. And you're going to have, you know, Ludacris and... you know, all these artists, right? And they're like, you know, you're not going to be able to pull that off in the desert, you know, and it's not going to be, you know, yeah. They were telling me, no, it's not going to happen. And if it doesn't make it, what's going to happen to the brand? Yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, in my mind, I was like, dude, I already see the fucking place packed.
For sure.
I already see it sold out. Like, I see it, you know, and for those that have those doubts up until the day that we showed up, I mean, people are like, what if they don't show up? I'm like, I feel that way. Don't get me wrong. I get that butterfly, but I jump. So be unrealistic. The fortune's in the follow-up. The bear of life. Believe energy. Action results. Don't forget to wait for the magic to happen, right?
Yes. Doesn't happen overnight.
It doesn't happen not overnight, dude. Care and communicate, and then be unrealistic, you know? So sure. that's our stuff. I just wanted to share with you guys, because I feel like you guys resonate with all that, and I'd love to have you guys, even like you guys are like, you got to follow up. We just say the fortune's in the follow-up, because it's so easy to remember. So it's like the fortune's in the follow-up, and I start to use it around the house, and everybody's like, hey, did you follow up? The fortune's in the follow-up. I'm already on, you know? So that's it. So Jess, go ahead. Go ahead, Allie. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things in mentioning that festival is actually Jessica was kind enough to appear on our education panels for marketing.
I was panelist.
Yes.
And so that's when I met you. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, Jessica, I didn't even realize you had also, you know, participated in working in a laboratory.
Yes.
So I want to ask you, your breadth of experience from working the trap side of things, like many of us did, mm-hmm. all the way to working the super compliant part of it, which is laboratory test results and all that. How did that prepare you for serving your cannabis vendors and folks that you work with now? What was that experience like that has helped you? Because I think our listeners would appreciate that.
I mean, I've been blessed to be offered positions that are all marketing focused. So it's really allowed me to hone my skill set and really just go forward and try to apply that wherever it is that I am. I've just been lucky to have an industry that's been very welcoming to my position and the skills that I offer. Working in the lab, it was a little bit more technical, a little bit more nerdy, whatever you would call it, but it's fun. It's making science cool again. It's making kind of the whole reason why everyone's here, bringing it out to the light and making it cool. Like, you should want to know what's in your product. You should want to know what you're consuming. You should want to know what cannabinoids, what terpene, the profile, all of it. You should care. You shouldn't just be buying based off of, you know, ironically, the packaging, but
a hot chick in the store. Like, yeah, you should buy this.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I've never smoked it before, but yeah, give me five of them.
Yeah. The girl saying, this is gas. You should try. Like, I know. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you only know if you know, right?
Yeah, because gas can be unleaded too. Give me the premium. Yeah. Some jet fuel.
So tell us, you know, like, what sets you guys apart? I mean, obviously the caring communication, the follow up. But as far as like packaging, compliant packaging, you know, what does that look like? You know, for somebody that's coming in that doesn't have an idea of how to get themselves in the game, and this is to either one of you. What does it take to have compliant packaging? Is it very difficult? Do you guys make it easy for them?
I'll answer that.
Yeah, you answer that.
Right. No, it's easy. It's easy. I mean, you come in the game with a focus on edibles, pre-rolls, flower, whatever that may be. There's a compliant composure for every material.
Sure.
We do every material. Kind of the benefit of us is a one-stop shop, regardless of what you're launching. You know, there's, as you know, probably 10 brands created a day in Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
It's exhausting. Yeah. that's
compliant,
a focus.
Non-compliant, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised wanting compliance in the black market.
Yeah.
Still exists.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
100%.
Well, they want to appear as legit as possible, yeah. Right? Which
for
is,
sure.
I mean, I think it's flattering and good.
For sure.
Because even though it might not be really what it says it is on there, but at least they're making the effort to try to do the right thing.
Worst case, your kid's not getting into it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a five-year-old.
Yeah.
So worst case, can't get into it.
Do you have any good stories that, like, you know, of brands and things that just, like, you know, you've seen the nightmares of where they came from to see what you guys
do? I don't know what I could share.
That's a tricky question.
I'd plead the fifth. I don't know much.
That's
safe.
Good call.
I want to come back.
They won't be back after Christmas.
They're all listening like, don't say it, bro. Don't say it.
I think you can.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, how about this, guys? We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Robert's going to tell us one of those excellent stories. Hello. Give you some time to think.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. Keep it locked right here, guys.
We'll be right back with Cannabis Talk 101.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back, everybody, to Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. We are brought to you by Rocket Seeds. And for trusted cannabis seeds at a fair price, head to rocketseeds.com or check them out on a really fun IG page at Rocket Seeds, at @rocket_seeds. They have a huge selection, but more importantly, seed tracker technology.
Yes.
That lets you identify the seeds and really track your progress and growth. So if you're a beginner, head to rocketseeds.com.
You know what? I'll tell you what. The seed tracker is an amazing product, guys. I mean, you can track your seeds, you know, and it tells you all about that seed, genetics and how it works and what, you know, the flower time is. And just from soup to nuts, it's a great place to be, an app to check out. So make sure you check out the seed tracker. It's pretty awesome.
It's awesome. For myself, being lucky enough to do education, Cannabis Talk 101, it's been a really good story. That is sometimes what I do. I mean, when I'm not messing around with the clock.
I thought you were the host.
Today, I'm lucky enough to be the host.
Is this your first time as a host on the actual show?
On the actual show, yes it is.
Let's
today.
Give it. Hey!
Look at it.
But you guys,
I was wondering why his shirt was buttoned all the way up.
you guys have heard me on the Cannabis Talk Network on Medical Mondays with Dr. Barry, on Plant Talk with Oakstown University.
But this
and
is the first time
tools,
on the show, huh?
This is my first time
how
on the show.
How long have you been with this?
Over 18 months.
You know, it's crazy because how long did it take you guys? Less than 18 months, huh?
And he's been sending emails daily. We get his emails all the time.
I come in person. Never mind the email. I come in person.
He drives from Canada.
I sure did. I sure did. More than one occasion, yeah. Too. Now, before we left the previous segment, Robert, you were going to share with us one of the very unique times where you were dealing with
like a roller coaster ride.
So
what was that challenge like? I'd love for our listeners to continue to learn from you.
Okay, yeah, I guess it's like anything, maybe the perception of something isn't always what it is. We've been involved or were involved from day one for Monogram, Jay-Z's launch. They spent a big budget on the creative side. We've done all of the manufacturing of all of the products, pre-rolls, two different types of pre-rolls, and flower.
Yeah.
Big name, tons. They were very, very well funded.
Yeah.
Decent media push. We're now 24, 30 months in. Brand doesn't exist.
Wow.
On hiatus, on hold.
Why?
Been on hold for a while. Too many chefs in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Different private equity. Different companies, different creative teams, kind of, you take it, I got it. No, I'm in the creative side. And like a lot of things in the cannabis space, maybe weaker sales on where they're pushed.
Yeah.
Maybe weak distribution partners that they had.
Yeah.
So the wild ride aspect is, dude, I mean, they fund, like cannabis right now, money's tight.
Sure.
Money was never an issue for them.
Right.
Not an issue at all. Brands,
and the right operators, you know. Right.
And you almost need that pressure to keep you on your toes, to make sure you are really excelling when it is kind of a free-for-all, you get the results that you just spoke about.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, he's saying it's a free-for-all sometimes, you know, for some people when they come into the industry.
Oh, absolutely.
And they don't, you know, necessarily know the operators. And I think it comes down to the operators, right? Like a lot of people want to come into this business and pretend that it's the real estate industry, or that it's the tires and wheel industry, or that it's sales and marketing, and it's not.
It's food and beverage.
I'm in the food and beverage industry. I know everything about it. It's like, okay, cool, but. You know, did you still know it's a good old boy network? Did you still know that there are a lot of people who are like, yeah, I don't agree with you? And you're like, why not? And they're like, I don't know. I just don't. You know, and it's
right.
Like,
yeah,
what?
You're so right.
You know,
so
like,
right.
What do you mean you don't? You know, and it takes, you know, I think this is one of the only industries that's existing right now. There's a couple that are starting to emerge, but that people are just kind of like, pay your dues, bro. You know, pay your dues, get to know people, you know, and when you do, and they see you, and they see you, and then they you know, they start trusting you more and more.
100%. We have a sales team. You know, they focus on all industries, all packaging industries, just not cannabis. The ones that are focusing on cannabis heavy, it's exactly what you said. Got to be there.
Yeah.
You got to be seen. You got to see the same people. And it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
I mean, gaining a level of true trust from someone that might not traditionally be trustworthy.
Sure.
I mean, that takes time.
And do you guys give terms and stuff like that for your guys? And
great,
I say that because
great question.
About trust. I'm like,
great question. You know, our stance for the most part is, I know even the most legal and compliant cannabis companies, they have no federal funding.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist. I've had companies, private equity people say, hey, I'll show you our accounting, show you how much cash is there. Big fucking deal. You could make that up.
Sure.
So to answer your question, for the most part, stay away.
Let's call you tomorrow.
You got to pay to play.
Yeah.
We've grown with larger customers over time.
Yeah.
On terms, but no, we're not.
Like,
we're not careless.
I'll take a couple of weeks, and you know, we'll do it. Whatever. You know.
Ten days becomes 34 days.
Oh, yeah.
34 days becomes 60 days.
Well, let's talk about those guys for a second now. We're going to call it Bash. This is the Bash part of the show. No, you know, it's interesting because I think the industry, and then having to see the industry go from a place where there was people that were pioneers that were packaging, And then there was people that were pioneers of the packaging, compliant packaging, you know, and then having both of those worlds, I'm sure you get to see them both. And obviously it's packaging to you. You're not doing anything illegal. You're just packaging, mm-hmm. right? So it's easier for you to take in some of those guys and then maybe even see some of those guys come from that black market up to the light market, you know what I mean? From the traditional to the compliant market. And, you know, I'm sure you get to share a lot of those stories with amongst your friends and whatnot.
For sure.
You know, but what is it like, you know, right now for you guys? Are you guys feeling it too because of the cannabis industry is a little slowing down?
Oh, yeah. A huge compression for us from a revenue or a profit standpoint. You know, the main packaging trend, how can I get that cheaper?
Yeah.
Trying to get into a Mylar bag, get into different products that are cheaper than a high-end glass. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you guys are feeling it as well.
Big time.
On that side of it. You know,
feel it on both sides. We're heavy. We did 20 to 25% of all of Amazon's plastic last year.
Wow.
That's down significantly this year.
Wow.
We're getting numbers for forecasts for next year.
Yeah.
That'll be higher than pre-COVID.
Yeah.
But down significantly from 21-22.
Right. So you're still looking at a rise. They're communicating well, letting you know, hey, this is what we're predicting, and they're probably pretty on point.
Fuck no. Amazon's no. They hedged the number very, very high.
Okay.
So our role on the e-com is slightly different than cannabis. We're all of the large national distributors that do packaging. We're what you'd say their plug to overseas.
Sure.
So we have the infrastructure in China, in Malaysia, in Vietnam. I have a partner that owns 50% of the business. Yep. He runs, helps to do that.
Gotcha.
So we're doing all of the sourcing. We're getting all of the product there.
Yeah.
Where in the cannabis industry, we're servicing directly to the end user. These big, large distributors, we're selling to the distributor. They manage it. The distributor, they want them to hold a higher amount of inventory so they can then say, I'll place an order today. You have to have product. They'll deliver it the next day. So Amazon, bringing this all full circle, Amazon wants their distributors to have a big, big amount of inventory so they can consume very quickly, but Amazon doesn't pay for it. The distributor pays for it first.
Wow, smart.
These
guys are like, deal with them.
Talk about terms.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And they're literally, if you take the top 20 e-commerce accounts, Amazon's number one, of course.
Yeah.
Number 2 through 19 added up, all of their volume is less than Amazon.
Wow.
Put that into perspective.
Yeah. And I'm sure, I think sometimes, where do you even find the time to deal with some of these guys in the cannabis industry? And that's where I say thanks, because, you know, I see it, you know, and a lot of people, you know, don't realize it, but, you know, it's refreshing to have, you know, professionals in their field adopt our world. Because some people just are hands off. They're like, it's like, I'll give you an example. We're launching a new magazine, and we're going to attach an NFT to it. We've got all kinds of cool, utilities that are going to each one of those NFTs and yada yada, right? But I've called several different distributors, and they're like, oh, we won't touch it. It's cannabis. I'm like, dude, it's a magazine. Like, it's an educational magazine. It's got product lines in it, but it's
we got dropped 4 years ago by our workman's comp company and our credit card merchant who I grew up with playing baseball.
Wow.
Because our website had a drill down that said cannabis packaging.
Wow.
Selling that type of stuff. Yeah. Paper, Mylar bags.
Yeah.
We got dropped by both of those companies.
Holy cow. Yeah, and how hard was that?
Pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Absolute pain in the ass. You got to, and then because it's stuck there on the internet, when you're going and your broker is going to get you other insurance, it has that's listed.
Mm.
So that's kind of what spurred the development of Elevated Global Supply. It's a completely different business than anything we do other industries, packaging-wise.
Right. It's its own entity, its own little world.
Keep it in the pipeline.
You may be servicing it, but it's through this brand, essentially, right?
Yep.
And, as much as we want to take cannabis mainstream, which is our goal here at Cannabis Talk 101, we also got to bring the mainstream down earth to accept cannabis more. I think that's one of the big things I learned listening to companies like yourself that are diversified enough to know all of the the playing field and understanding that cannabis is just another industry that is here to serve people well. And I have one last question for you, Jessica, on that note.
Yes.
Now working with Robert, obviously a company that isn't cannabis focused or exclusively cannabis. Mm-hmm. How's that been for you and what have you learned working here?
Well, it's been, what, six?
3-4 months?
No.
He's ADD. Don't worry about it.
We already discussed it.
I wasn't really counting.
I do the same thing, Robert.
I wasn't really counting. We don't count.
Robert, right. I'm exactly the same, bro.
Yeah, we don't have a concept of time.
He didn't even know
July,
I worked here.
Whatever, July.
August, September, October, November.
Yeah, it's 4 months.
Right on point.
Whatever.
So what have you learned in that time?
Well, coming from cannabis, like strictly cannabis companies, transitioning into a, you know, more rounded type of company, working with multiple people, honestly, because I'm used to just me being solo or me not really having to ask different tiers of, I guess, permission or whatever, approval.
There's trust there, you mean? I'm used to
just, you know,
being a lone wolf.
I, you know, we talk, we have a meeting, we jot everything down, I attack, follow up, next one, attack, whereas now I'm learning to work with teams and, you know, multiple people in chains of command. And
it's a big deal.
More of, I guess, the corporate structure, I would say, or regular, I don't know, just that office life that I didn't really have. Apart from skill set, it's cool being able to play in other fields and, you know, coming up with puns and jokes and things to post. You know, that's exciting. But I'm still learning. I'm excited for the ride. I'm excited for the next year, 5 years, 10. However long you'll keep me.
straight brought him to the big leagues, so I think he should be happy for you. You know, I'll tell you, one of the things that I can understand and resonate with is that, you know, like for me, everybody, you know, comes directly to me, right? Or Joe, or, you know, they see us and they're like, hey, bro, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, they have this huge plan already ready for me. And I'm just like, looking at them like, okay. Like, and they're like, we want to do this. I want to do marketing with you, but I want to talk to you about this. And I'm just like, okay. And then I get like overwhelmed because I'm like, oh God, I'm downloading all this information. I'm 2 minutes before I go into a show and we're at a live event somewhere and I don't know this person, but they're talking to me like they know me. And I'll even ask them like, do we know each other? And they're like, oh, well, I've never met you, but I know you from the show. And I'm like, oh shit. So then I'm like, okay, well, can you guys talk to Ali or Solar or Cam? And then sometimes it comes off like, oh, you don't want to talk to me?
Like I'm like,
no, that's not it. It's just that, like,
you have 24 hours in the day.
Yeah, and it's like I used to try to do it all myself, right? I used to feel and I realized I'm like, damn, like I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that, and then I got caught in the man, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, you know, and it sucks because it's like I could see how it has to be done, but to physically do it, I have a hard time. So. Sure. When I was not done right, I'm like, you didn't do it right. And they're like, yes, I did. And I'm like, no, you didn't. And they're like, well, do it yourself. I'm like, no, you do it, you know. And we go through these exercises, but like, you know, when you look at something, for me, I could see it and I'm like, oh, that works, you know. And I could know that it's going to work because I could feel it. I understand it. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people that don't know how it works. They just do the work. And I think that conversation that you know, you're having, like, you know, hey, like I'm dealing with new people, a chain of command. Those are good things, you know. They're the best things ever, because when you get to that level, you have, like, I know we have, you know, a vice president, you know, this. We've got our structure and our chain of command, and everybody plays roles, and we all jump outside of them because we care and communicate. We do other things, you know. Right. It's like if I see trash on the floor, I pick it up, and I expect everybody to.
Of course.
You know, but there's a lot of people that don't see that, right? They don't understand that, and they don't have that understanding or respect or I guess not respect, but just the life lessons of being, and especially in the traditional market where, you know, everybody's just kind of like, yeah, show up, you do your thing. And it's like, you never even see the boss man, because he's like, he's scared to be there.
Just text him.
Yeah. And you're like, am I texting him, or is this a burnout phone?
Yeah,
for sure.
You know?
So I like I said, that's us evolving, but that's why I said thank you, Robert, because, you know, bringing in those levels of expertise into our industry, and then finding people like yourself that are experts in this cannabis industry, that understand it, and then embracing them to bring them out so that they could communicate with the rest of the industry so that you guys can all deliver a real product and be able to actually, you know, fulfill people is so important to our game. Like, people don't get it, you know.
You try to say your elevator speech is bring a level of professionalism. Yeah. There's something that might not be traditionally that professional.
Yeah.
Packaging for cannabis, that's still in the first inning of the game.
Yo, for sure. For sure. And do you see any new creative products? I'm sure you guys have you created some, you know. And and one other thing, too, the Sublime product. I know we have that coming
out.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to get into the Sublime product right when we come back.
Wait. No. Okay. We're going to go to another break or what?
Yeah.
Is that?
You want to do a break? You want to do another break?
Yeah.
We don't do breaks at this time. This is the end of the show, bud.
Okay, let's go.
But I know it's your first time, so it's okay.
But nice he was ready for that cliffhanger. He was like, "Ooh, that's nice try."
Don't worry. The editors.
Here's my opportunity.
The editors.
No, we're not going to edit this out. This is beauty.
This is good.
Yeah,
I like it.
Blemishes are beauties.
You know, I have a lot of blemishes, so this is going to be a really beautiful show. I love it.
Yeah. Just we're not going to take an extra break for Allie today.
No.
We're on our last segment, bud.
Let's go.
I've done it too, though, by the way. So don't feel bad.
Well, I'll do it again.
But if you have to potty,
try not to do it. Try not to do it in the same show, though.
No. But I'll help you mess up plenty of shows. Don't even worry about it.
Right. So let's go into that Sublime product, right? Like, let's talk about that, and then we'll go.
Yeah. Heading from here to 420 Central, the first dispensary to open in Costa Mesa.
Yes.
One of the brands lines that they're launching is the Sublime line. So it's through the widow, through Bradley's wife and son, we're able to use all of the likenesses from all of the albums, the artwork, the photos. So the line's launching. Couple different types of pre-rolls, flower. You've seen she would probably know even better than me. It's
I think
one
they're doing vapes. Everything. I don't think edibles though.
No edibles. Yeah, sure no edibles. To your question about like unique, innovative products, big push is trying to find as sustainable of an item as
let's
possible.
Talk sustainability.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Come on, let's go.
That's huge.
How do you feel about sustainability?
I mean, in what product?
Packaging.
Oh, packaging. Oh, do you
as a consumer,
right?
Do you care?
As a Canadian, I gotta step in on this one, guys. And the amazing country of America needs to be a lot more sustainable.
Yeah, you're talking about our footprint, right? So you know, listen. One of the things that I have a conversation with, I had a conversation with Bradley Hilton, which is the grandson of Conrad Hilton, which is the owners of the Hilton family. Yeah. They were here the other day. And, you know, I had a conversation with them about, you know, cleaning the air. And I'm like, what? You know, he's like, yeah, we're working on cleaning air and remediating all the soil. Right. And I'm like, okay. And he's dealing with the guy. I think his name's Farouk. And Farouk is one of the most intelligent men in the world. He comes from small village in the middle of nowhere, and the feds had pulled him in, you know, 20 years ago, and he's probably in his 30s or something, 40s now, and so they've got new machines that are going to clean the air, and so going into the packaging and product line, of course, you know, we need to be very conscious of our footprint. We need to, you know, stop wasting, you know, and unfortunately we don't know any other solutions at the time, and the ones that we do are not as cost effective, and
100%.
And they can be, I think, if you know, some of these, you know, companies would produce, you know, more things like hemp. Yeah, you know, if there was more hemp, it would be easier to produce it. And
raw materials is not enough to make it's a big quantity.
Correct. Even housing, right? So we can get into that in the sense of this is why I think the cannabis industry is here. You know, a lot of people aren't going to sit here and realize it, but like, you know, you as a big farmer, you know, farming hemp, you should be getting carbon footprints, right? Because it is a sustainable product.
100%.
It can biodegrade. It can come down, you know, and like, you know, I've got a new backpack that we just brought in. It's all hemp, and it has hemp seeds in it, right? So once it does break down, and it takes, I think, about, you know, I don't know, 6 or 8 months or something like that before the seed will actually
That's
get
crazy.
into the ground. Oh, wow. So when you throw our backpack out, you know, it'll actually plant a cannabis.
That's crazy.
You know,
cool.
But there's things like that I think that we should definitely be involved in and be conscious of. But it's very difficult because the moment I've had this conversation with people, that, you know, the packaging is a big deal, right? And it's like that 3 cents or that 7 cents it can make or break companies, right? 100%. On a scale level.
For sure.
Like, people tell me all the time, like, hey, we want to add a certain solution to it. And I'm like, well, how much is it going to cost? It's only like 30 cents. It's like 30 cents.
30 cents is a shitload.
It's a huge number.
A lot of money.
Shitload.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about brands, they care about 5-10 cents. That's very significant.
Yeah. Yeah.
E-commerce brands, they care about a quarter of a penny.
Quarter of a cent. Yeah, you have to easily break it all the way down to the point of
easily
a cent.
Some of the bags we sell are 5 cents. There's a difference between 4.5 cents yeah and 5 cents.
Yeah. Oh,
when you're
yeah
selling a shitload of
yeah
them.
Yeah, and it's difficult to I think accommodate for someone like you guys, you know. But I'm sure you might have an option
for sure.
But to get that client to purchase that option,
oh,
that's a whole different ballgame. You know what I mean? So that's my quick answer to you. We can go into detail though.
I would think like sustainability as far as packaging goes too. If like maybe a company, you know, as of yourself, would create a recycling, reusable type situation to where now for everyone, they can recycle their plastic back through you. You can reprocess it, reuse it. And then yeah now we're not dumping it into the oceans or whatever the case
that's
may be. And
great
then that's maybe more of the sustainability, you know, with the packaging side.
Stay
if
tuned
we're not using something that's natural like him.
Yeah, just use him.
We're working on something really, really crazy and really, really similar.
Wow.
Really?
Well, you know,
to that.
I'm available on the weekends.
Research and development.
No, that's a different podcast. It's something literally involved with a waste management facility in L.A.
Yeah.
Actually being able, the biggest variable, a lot of moving parts, how can you control a waste management, a garbage place?
Yeah.
We're involved with one so that you could actually document taking a product from a distribution center garbage, taking it to the waste management facility, they pull it out, they'll send it to Mexico, regrind it, rework it, we'll sell it to a manufacturer in Mexico.
Wow.
Manufacturer will make the product, we can ship it back to LA and make the same thing, make
wow
the same product. That's gonna cost a lot more money.
Yeah.
It's gonna cost a lot more money.
Sure.
But you can truly document it, literally. The shit
zero
getting picked
waste
out of the dumpster.
Are they pulling just cannabis products, or are they pulling
no,
any kind
we're
of?
We're working on this program
gotcha
for paper bags like
sure
that, mailers
sure
that you would get home in
grocery
your home
bags
that you get T-shirts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But it translates in all industries. It's not being done anywhere in the world yet.
Well, it's funny because it's not funny. It's actually sad, but you have the two of the better, right? You could either burn all the trash, which it happens in countries.
It happens in 80% of the other world outside of Europe and America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, and I would suggest like burn it on a rainy day.
In Texas.
Yeah.
You know, in Texas, you can actually have the big metal barrels and you can burn your garbage
wow
in your backyard.
I believe
yeah
that.
Let's go to Texas.
Yeah. But then again, you're like you're polluting the air. There's always, you know, it's like this. We are all aging. We're all going to die. It's inevitable, right?
For sure.
You know, some of us go before and our loved ones and all that. But I mean, ultimately, there's nothing we can do, right? We're aging. We're going to die. And I say that, you know, in a big picture of so is our Earth. It's aging and it will die. You know, I don't think there is going to be a way to keep it forever. And that's
how
why
long
we
is it? 100,000 years?
What is
1 million
forever
years?
What is forever? But there is the old, you know, good almighty. You know what I mean? So, you know, when I say that, I believe that, like, man, it's been here for a really long time. But with the senses and what people are saying about the air quality, the soil, like a lot of people don't realize right now, you know, there may be a food shortage, right? Why? Because the food in the ground that we're putting it in isn't as the nutrients aren't getting pulled out of it like they used to. So we can't get the same nutrients out of that food. So how do you make those nutrients, right? Do you come up with, you know, hypergenetic ways to take down, you know, nutrients to keep our bodies efficient? And then are those going to be sustainable because they're man-made? And I mean, there's just this, you know, theory of it all. But when I look at it, I say this: do your best to do what's right, you know, through this process. You can only do so. And I often say, like, listen, man, the guy that sells Coca-Cola, they're killers, you know. And I love Coke. I'm a drinker of Coca-Cola, but the sugar that's in that soda has got our kids
number one cause of obesity
in the world, right?
Yes, for sure.
And so, but are you mad at him and you say, oh, you're killing people? No, you kind of just like, okay, well, you have control. You controlled yourself. Well, it's like, no, I didn't. I was fucking 10 years old going, give me another one, you know, freaking out, you know, for soda, you know. But and there's so many of those things that go down the line, the plastic in our drinks, and I mean, it's a never-ending story. So I don't know. There is a solution. The solution is be kind, take care of what you're supposed to do. Everybody clean their own trash, take care of their own kitchen, you know, clean their own house so that we can all be better, you know, get better at, you know, taking your recyclables and put them in the recycle bin, you know, instead of in the trash, because, you know, sometimes they don't get there, which, you know, Goldie's the fan of.
You know,
he said, I
mean, I wish I had, you know, the answer. You know,
but really what's a crazy stat is of everything that you recycle, you throw in the recycler, 93% still goes into landfill.
Yeah.
So under 10% is actually recycled and used.
It's a sad story.
Is that because there's junk on it, debris on it?
Yeah. No, to an extent, or if you're just talking about clean garbage,
yeah,
we don't have the infrastructure that a Canada would. No, Switzerland or smaller. Canada's a much smaller population.
It's a small population with a vast amount of resources and a huge country, larger than the United States, but the population is smaller than that of California's. So it's logistically, it's much easier to deal with, you know, 30 million people's trash spread across the entire continent. We live in small pockets, and everyone's kind of responsible for their own thing. And there's a bit of a heavy-handedness of the law, which makes you take care of your own stuff. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble. So with that said, I do want to get 5 more questions in before I preemptively end the show on my accident.
Are we doing the high five?
And I want to play the high five. Can we play the high five?
Let's play the high five or do the high five?
Let's play.
Let's go. Let's play the high five.
Let's play high five.
Let's go to the high five with
question
Robert.
Question number one of the high five
is, Robert, I'll go with you first, and then we'll go to Jessica. Okay. How old were you the first time you smoked, and where did you get it from? And don't say Jessica.
Got it from buddies, friends, 14 or 15, before basketball practice.
Nice.
At school.
Nice. Junior high, probably, huh? That's junior,
no, early, that's early high ninth school. Or 10th grade.
Ninth grade, yeah.
Ninth or 10th grade.
Jess, how about you?
Oh, same. It's funny, given that the World Cup is going on right now. So
who are you going for?
Not Iran.
All right, you guys have to do
Iran. Iran just got beat.
That's his guy.
So funny. We'll just move along. I was probably 16. I remember it was a Saturday. I remember the whole day. It's crazy. Yeah, Mexico won that day. I had gone from like my cousin's house to like a friend's house, and it was already nighttime, and they were like, "Oh, do you want to smoke?" And I was like, "I've never smoked before."
Yeah.
And it was like this tall green bong. They called it the Hulk.
What? Of course. They start you on the Hulk.
Yeah. Like, super cliche.
Okay. Yeah. No problem. Yeah. Everybody else is doing it.
They ordered pizza. It was like super cliche, but nice. That was the first time
the
I smoked.
The Hulk, huh?
Yeah. It
I don't
was like
think I'll
some
forget that.
August Saturday. I don't know.
Yeah. Go!
Yeah.
Man. She hit the Hulk.
I was really so.
She's really into this. Or she's not really into this right now.
Question number two of the high five. What is your favorite way to use or smoke cannabis, Robert?
100% joints.
Nice.
100%. Same.
No questions asked.
It's not the Hulk.
Yeah.
No.
Not anymore.
No.
Ain't with that.
Did you eat some
the
pizza and go to sleep?
The maintenance on glass is like a whole job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
I'll just rather roll it and get over.
Yeah.
Like,
roll it and burn it up. Yeah. And just go.
Man, nice filter and just let it go.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Question number three of the high five. Robert, you first. What is the craziest place you have used?
Where is the craziest place?
Where
is the place? Or use cannabis?
I think just because of the risk, China, Indonesia, Singapore.
We heard that a lot. And it was cannabis, not hemp, because we heard somebody say this.
I mean, dude, I was just in Bali. A chick, an American girl, going into Bali. Like, this is after Brittany Griner got caught with one steezy pod.
Yes.
Going into Indonesia. Apprehended her immediately. Is facing 5 to 15 years. No questions.
Oh.
Jesus.
No questions.
Just trying to slide through the airport with it.
Right? What's that?
So she's trying to come through the airport with
them
and they caught it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Little bitty gram.
Just,
little grandpa.
Just a little pot. 5 to 10 years.
Street value of $5.
And you know what's crazy is she was a figure, you know, public figure.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I mean they got her. You know what I mean? They didn't leave her there for 5 years, but I think she spent like 3 to 6 months in jail out there. You know.
So yeah, do in those places. But yeah, for sure.
For sure. That's it.
Won't do that anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's go next week, bro. We'll try and take some ourselves. Yeah.
Ship it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ship it to your hotel.
Jessica, what about you? Where's the craziest place you've ever used cannabis?
Same thing because of the risk. I went to Tokyo with my cousins for like 2 weeks, and I took like 2 pens, some Kushi Punch.
Wow, you walked it right in.
Oh, yeah. Oh. It was like, I mean, just...
Yeah, just what did you carry it on, like, the plane, or did you put it under the plane?
I think I checked it.
Yeah, check it in. Yeah.
That's the way you go.
Yeah, it's a lucky.
The
lucky.
Worst flight of my life.
The 14, 20 hour flight.
The, like, nausea.
The pacing yeah. on the plane.
As a middle.
Get off.
As a middle.
Like, we're still in the air. Went to sleep, woke up,
Dude, it's like 18 hours. It's so long.
It's tough.
As a Middle Easterner who has a very unique airport experience every time I go, I'm getting anxiety just listening to you guys. Okay.
You're getting ready to go too, right?
Yes. Not with any cannabis, though. Even though it's legal both places I'm stopping at. I'm not messing around with federal airspace.
If you're listening. No.
Please don't listen.
Question number four of the high five. What is your go-to munchie after you get high?
Oh, man.
It's a hard one.
Mushroom and pepperoni pizza.
Ooh. Which mushrooms do you like? The ones that they cut, like, that are the,
extra,
the traditional
extra.
Ones?
Extra. A ton. So it doesn't matter the type as long as there's a lot.
Nice. I'm a fan of, you know, I grew up on pepperoni mushroom.
Have to.
You know, my pops was like, dude, we're down pepperoni mushroom. I'm like, okay. You know, I just, yeah,
for sure. And I'm mushroom and jalapeno.
Yeah.
I like jalapeno.
Yeah. And it's funny because some people look at mushrooms like, mushrooms?
I hate mushrooms. I'm allergic.
Yeah.
Allergic.
Chris, we got a guy that's allergic to one of
if
our guys.
If it grows in the ground, I'm down.
Yeah, if it grows in the ground, I'm down. Yeah, that's the slogan for the new shroom company. Yeah. And yourself?
Hire me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, whatever is within reach.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be better and, like, do the fruit thing.
Yeah.
My favorite munchie is the closest one.
Yeah. I love it. I want a piece of pizza right now. Yeah. I'm literally like, order some pizza, guys. I'm starving. Yeah. Let's go.
Order some pizza?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, so go ahead. Question number?
5 of the high five. If you could smoke cannabis with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Can't give a dead and alive?
One
of each?
Everything goes here.
The dead would be probably who got me into cannabis. I had a dog named Marley.
No way.
Bob Marley.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I always felt, you know, music would transcend age, race, wealth. If you ever went to like a live Bob Marley show, I would have pictured it. You know, a lot of love.
Yeah.
Would have been an amazing good time.
Sure.
So it's kind of like the pinnacle of pot.
Yeah.
So Bob Marley. And then alive, born in 1982, big basketball guy, love Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Be a great guy to smoke a joint with. I don't know. He definitely probably doesn't smoke, so it makes it even better.
Yeah, well, I think we've heard that he does.
Really?
Yes, we've heard that he does. I don't know if that's true. But we heard
that's good information.
I don't know that he does, but he has.
Yeah.
We're trying to get him to do our celebrity golf tournament right now.
When you said your tournament, Jim McMahon, he's always at everyone barefoot.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he just had surgery. We were just with him at MJ BizCon, and he was in our booth, and we were hanging out the whole 3 days or whatever. But he just had surgery on his foot, and he's golfing today, actually today in Arizona. What? For Mita, there's a golf tournament, and he just has like the biggest hole in his foot, dude. They were going to take off his leg. This is like, it's like 7-10 weeks ago. They were going to take off his leg because it was so swollen. And he sent me a picture, and I seen it, and I almost cried.
Is it from a virus or a bacteria?
It was like a bacteria. Yeah, it was like a
bacteria. From a surgery. Yeah, it was a surgery.
Like a staph infection.
And it's just, it just looks so bad. And then I seen him at MJ. And I'm like, bro, how are you walking, bro? And he was like, well, I was golfing yesterday. I'm just like, dude, and it was funny because I was relating that to a freaking cramp that I had in, I woke up in the middle of the night with a cramp the other night, you know, and it left my leg like hurting for 2 days, you know?
Right.
But I was like, damn, dude, I got this cramp. I woke up and I was, you know, crying around my house. And I'm like, dude, this guy's got a freaking hole in his leg. He's golfing, you know, as we speak right now, he's golfing and he's just like, oh, I'll work it out. And I'm just like,
high
pain tolerance.
Football players, man. They're a different breed.
They call them athletes for a reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wild. Guys, is there anything...
Did we get yours?
Actually, Jessica, we need we need your...
Allie, you slow down, player.
Sorry.
I'm trying to get that pizza.
Yeah.
We want to know your... favorite person to smoke with, dead or alive?
Oh, did he only give us one though, bro? Yeah. Like
I said,
I said Bob Marley and Michael Jordan.
Oh, I thought you said your dog Marley.
Oh, I've got Bob Marley,
Bob Marley, and Michael Jordan. No, one my dog Marley.
Oh, got you. Yeah, no, got I said yeah. Okay, got you. I'm now see there. We all messed up.
Start
there,
talking
bro.
About pizza. I mean,
yeah, the pizza.
Talk about pizza.
Yeah. I hope someone's really ordering it. But go ahead.
I don't know. That's like a tough question, I feel, to just really like nail one down. I mean, my favorite person to smoke with alive is just my brother. Like, we smoke too much.
That's
like.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're 4 years apart, but you can never tell.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Is he younger?
No, he's older.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cute.
You know, what's crazy is you know, I've never heard that answer, like my brother. Like, you know, we've got our dads, you know what I mean? Like, you know, my mom that passed away, things like that. You
so
know?
My dad... Hi, Dad, you're going to hear this.
Hey, Dad.
My dad, I know, consumes but won't admit it. So I think that would be cool.
No way.
Yeah.
One time I had to go do a delivery for us, and it was at somebody's father's house, and then I see my Cannabis Talk 101 jacket. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, my God, you got Cannabis Talk 101. And Blue had sent me there. And I'm such a big fan. All this. And then I told the individual whose daughter had told me to go meet the dad. And she's like, wait, he's a fan of the podcast? I didn't even know. I'm like, whoops, I just let out the family secret.
He's like, how do you know? Yeah, it's funny because a lot of parents don't want to tell their kids.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm like, dude, you know what I do for work? Like, yeah. I could hook you up.
Does he you could smell it on him or whatever?
It's been probably... since I was like 10, maybe. It little bits here and there, little crumbs he leaves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a nug, a little roll.
That's not oregano?
Yeah. You're like,
yeah, no.
Nope, I know what that is.
Spices on the workbench in the garage. Yeah. 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 Well, he was out here
or
cooking
like,
tea.
Oh,
huh?
No, I'll get it. And I'm like, okay, cool. Okay. It's just your toolbox, but all right.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. So, guys, is there anything that, you know, we left out? You know, obviously, I feel like we could talk forever and Ali's trying to rush you out of here, obviously, so yeah. No, I'm just playing. Is there anything that we left out that you guys want to cover before we let you guys get on out of here?
No. I mean, we didn't have an agenda, just came to talk. So we're a local packaging provider in Southern California and beyond. Love to work with any brands, love to be around here more, learn more about everything.
Sure.
Been a fun time.
Absolutely. And how do we find you guys?
You can find us on LinkedIn, on Instagram, maybe Facebook. Sometimes it's there. Elevated Global Supply.
And we'll give you Jessica's cell phone number on air.
Yeah.
9-9-9.
Don't
they'll
do
call.
It.
Look, yeah. 140 countries. Yeah. They will
People
call.
Will start calling. They'll try and they'll fish. They'll be fishing you. Yeah. All of a sudden, you're getting these messages like, you know, Amazon has... charge you $379. You're like, huh? Follow this link. And you're like,
no.
Huh? They'll do whatever they can, guys.
Sure.
So listen, thank you guys so much for joining the show. It's great to learn about you guys' company. Again, thank you guys so much for bringing a professional, professionalism to the cannabis industry. Again, I think it's so important that we have operators that are, you know, working with people from the traditional market, and also they have the level of expertise for like Amazon and things like that. It's so important to our whole ecosystem, and it's been a great show. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101, and remember this: if no one else loves you,
we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.